We are going to partake tonight in Holy Communion, and I do appreciate this just wonderful sacred time together. And of course, I'll usually make a few statements about that before we enter into it. And I do appreciate just this sacred time with the Lord. Amen. It's nothing that we do out of habit. We've been overdue to do it, to be honest with you. I've been meaning to do it for a while. And just sometimes it slips my mind. I'll get down and pray about it and think about it. And I said, man, I've got to have communion. And I think I looked at Brother Neff last week or sometime. I said, look, we need to have communion. I know they help get things together. And so I'm just excited to be able to, on Easter Sunday, I think it's equally, and it's a very special time on Easter Sunday to where we can have communion together. Amen. It's just a precious time. And if you would go tonight in your book, in your Bibles, to the book of Luke chapter 22. I'm going to just read to you there. Talking about the Last Supper. I'm going to make a few comments about it. And then we'll be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 later on. That's where we will be having partaking of communion. But also I like going on those verses every time we do that. So Luke chapter 22, if you'll go there with me. Luke chapter 22. And this is where, of course, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. One of the occasions of that. And it's just some interesting things we're going to focus on tonight. I'm going to read a little bit to you. I know it seems like a little bit of reading, but I think you'll get my point here in a little bit, the purpose for doing so. But in Luke 22, in verse 14, starting to read there, it says, "And when the hour was come, he set down the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I love that verse. I desired to do this with you, he said. "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. They began to inquire among themselves which it was that should do this thing." I want you to notice here as we go into verse 24, kind of some shift here, something different. I've never noticed this until kind of just reading that here recently. "And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them, are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And if he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is it greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is it not the he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." We would say tonight as we look at these verses, and I'll be brief before we get into the other chapter and begin to move into communion. But we know the Bible is very unique when it comes to the human memory. We know that the human memory is a gift from God. It is an amazing thing about how much we can remember. We also know when that is circumvented, and we know that when we have done bad things or have bad memories, we wish we could erase those things. We wish there was a delete, control, alt, delete button in the mind. But we understand memory is a gift from God. Remembrance is a gift from God. And we understand the Bible not only commands us to remember, but I've often find it amazing all throughout Scripture, the Bible also lets us know that not only are we to remember, but God also aids us in doing so. He wants us to remember, and He helps us to remember, even to the place that one of the ministries of the Holy Ghost is that He will bring things to our remembrance. You think about that. The Holy Ghost will keep that fresh. He will bring things to our remembrance. I was thinking about this in studying for the Lord's Supper tonight, or communion. It is amazing that the Passover feast that they were celebrating right here at this moment It was actually a feast of memorial. We know that. It ties back to Exodus chapter 12. We know the story about the angel of death that we often call him. We know about the blood, the lamb that had to be slain. The blood of the lamb had to be put there on the doorpost. And there we know the Passover was initiated, God ordained. God gave them the Passover and commanded them to keep the Passover so that they would remember that night that they were delivered there from Egypt. He wanted them to remember that. As a matter of fact, he told the Israelites to pass this down, to settle this on every conscience, that this event should take place in each life of every generation that would hear this, that no generation should never forget what took place at that time. Now understand, as we look at this tonight, the disciples were aware of the Passover. They are celebrating this. And if we have our calculations correct, and we hope we do, by this time, they would have celebrated two Passovers with Jesus Christ at this time. This would have been the third Passover that they had served with the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke said, Jesus even said this, that he was eager, he desired to sit down with them at this Passover, because it was going to be at this Passover that he was going to institute and initiate a new feast, a new communion, a new partaking, a new memorial in which they would remember no more the lamb, so much in Exodus chapter 12, but now their attention would be focused on the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself. So he was eager to eat with them. I can just imagine as we see those words, Jesus cannot wait to get there and have this feast with these disciples. So much so that it was probably when they're having this, and how it's amazing how the disciples had yet to connect the dots about Jesus yet. They still, in their minds, from what we can gather in Scripture, the disciples are still kind of waiting for Jesus to establish a kingdom in the format of their mindset of what they think that should be. Even to the place we know here in a minute, they want to talk about who's going to be first and who's going to have the greater throne and everything. So understand, they have not connected these dots, but Jesus is about to take the pen, so to speak, and connect the dots for them. He wants them to understand, look, this is going to be different than any other Passover. So much so, I can just imagine how startling to them it would have been as Jesus takes the bread and the wine and compares it to his death. No doubt it was startling to them as they are entering into this feast. And Jesus does this, no doubt, different than just the typical Passover feast. Now, if you know anything about the Passover, they would sing hymns and they would pass around cups. They would eat bitter herbs and they would partake of the lamb and all that. But here Jesus does something different here in the section. They had been familiar with the Passover, with the liberation of the Egyptian bondage. But now Jesus was referring his soon death to a new liberation. He's saying, look, I know the other feast celebrates what happened in Egypt, but now what we're going to do, this new feast is going to celebrate what has taken place or going to take place here soon in your lives. And that is what Jesus is initiating here. Yes, you were delivered from Egypt, but I'm about to deliver you from sin. I'm about to deliver you from that spiritual Egypt. I'm about to take you from that. And that is what this new feast initiated here. That's what it represents. I'm going to liberate you not from the tyranny of Pharaoh, but from the tyranny of sin. And that's what the new feast represents. It's amazing that this meal is for those that believe. If you're not a believer here tonight, you have no place to come to the table of communion. And that's not mean or ill-hearted. You must be born again to partake of this. And even for those who still think it's just, I've met people before, you know, that communion is just a thing they do. It's not to lose its special significance in our lives. It is to be an intimate time. It is to be a real time. Remembrance is something that is active in the mind. It's something that reminds you. I often refer to this, and I may have done it here before. I have a scar on my finger, a big scar. I look at that scar on my finger and I'm instantly brought into remembrance. I can take you to Happy Home Camp Meeting when I was like 6 years old. And I remember riding a little scooter down the side of a cement slope, and I ran into a brick wall and drug my hand down the side of that brick wall and it tore the flesh off my finger. I remember walking into the little, if you knew anything about Happy Home at the time, Brother Glenn may remember, they used to have a camp meeting outside, sawdust and everything. The cafeteria has sawdust. They would have the big blocks of ice in a cooler. You had to go in there. It was just kind of like a thing they did, just kind of represent the old days. I remember seeing the big blocks of ice, but I remember walking through there. And you see how remembrance starts to play in? I hadn't thought about that ice in a long time. But remembrance is working right now. I hadn't thought about that sawdust in a long time, but remembrance is working right. That's how remembrance works. I remember going into that little cafeteria there, sawdust floor. I mean, some of the best cooking you ever had in your life. And I'm telling you, good cooking. And it's sad, I hate, you know, even as the older ones are passing on to my grandmother, I want to get those recipes, but they don't have them written down. It's just a dab of this and a pinch of that. There's no measurements. And they tell you, if you don't have this, you can use this. And you're like, how did you ever figure all this stuff out? All you need is a can of this and to make it just, you understand what I'm saying? Remembrance. Walked in, there was a man by the name of King George. And I don't know, you remember King George? It's amazing. He had 11 siblings. And if I'm not mistaken, the story goes like this. I've been told that his mom just called all of them baby. And his mom passed away and he was adopted by somebody in his family. They said, what's your name? He said, baby. They said, what do you want your name to be? He said, King George. We called him King George his whole life. That's the way it was always told to me. But I remember King George speaking up. Nobody had any Band-Aids. King George, who is now dead, hadn't thought of it in a while, said, I've got some Band-Aids. And it took 5 whole Band-Aids to help cover my finger and clean it up. You see how remembrance works? It's when something familiar begins to, almost like a movie in your mind, begins to roll the film. There's things, no doubt, in your life that you could see in your home or begin to think about. And it reminds you and helps you to remember what that is. That's how remembrance works. So this meal is for those that believe. Number one, I want you to get this, that it is impossible. When I say we believe, what do we believe in when we say this? What are we partaking in? Number one, when we partake in the Lord's communion, we understand, number one, it is impossible to be delivered by good works, and that the saving grace and everything good we have spiritually, it comes from Jesus Christ and the sacrificial work that He has done for us on the cross. He did that for us. We remember that. It's for those who believe that though we are originally guilty, we put our sin on Him at the cross. We remind the enemy, even to the place that when the accuser of the brethren comes, we remind him that he has been nailed to the cross. It has been imputed unto us righteousness. That's what we are remembering here today. We are made righteous not by our own works or good deeds or mentality. We are made righteous by the blood of Jesus and by the breaking of his body and by Calvary. That's what we are remembering tonight. It's all because of him. When we eat the bread, when Jesus break the bread, when it's broken, it represents his body being broken. That's what Jesus did here to the disciples. When he broke it and gave to them, it represents that. When we eat the bread, we are partaking of that sacrifice. We are accepting it into us, saying now that sacrifice is a part of us. When the wine or the grape juice is poured out, it is indicative of the blood that was shed on behalf of sinners. Wine was given to enrich the body in them days. It was healthy for the body. And guess what? This is healthy for us to partake of this. Is a wonderful thing. But notice this. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Now I ask this question. Would it have been that, why would Jesus say that to them? Could it be that the disciples would forget who Jesus was? Or forget that he existed? Was that what Jesus is talking about here? Look, when you do this, I just want you to see my face. That's not what he's talking about. He's not just saying, I want you to have a photographic moment in your mind where you notice who I am or see my face. Commentators agree. This is not so much talking about just his face or a vague memory. Do this and remember some me is saying, do this. Remember who I am and what I have done for you. That's what he is saying. Because it is amazing how often we forget. Amen. And before any of us think we are beyond forgetting, we would realize here that we can look at this example in scriptures. We know these disciples were eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, they were eyewitnesses. They are in the inner circle. They are the chosen. They are ones that seen all those miracles, and even some of them would go on to write some gospels. We realize this, but guess what? He told them, do this in remembrance of me, because he knew even they would have a tendency of forgetting. I want to show you, I've never seen this before, but I want to share it with you tonight. Notice that Jesus institutes the supper to him. And then notice here, it says, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But one to him that betrayed me, you remember what he said? He said, look, there's somebody who's at this table with me. They're going to betray me. And it says this, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them was it that should do this thing, right? I mean, they're saying, I just imagine, is it I? You know, who is it? But then notice all of a sudden in verse 24, and there was also strife among, they done forgot all about what he's talking about. At the same meal, he goes from instituting the feast, saying somebody's going to betray me. He said, look, this stuff represents my body. It represents my blood. It says you're going to partake of it. Somebody's going to betray me. They're saying among themselves, who's going to betray? Who's going to do it? And all of a sudden they're arguing among themselves which one was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Do you see how quickly humans can forget? They forgot in the same meal. How easy is it for us to forget? I want you to let's be honest with ourselves and with God tonight, please. I'm just going to be honest with you. We can forget. We live in a very high-paced world. And I'm not saying that you forget about God totally and delete Him out your mind. But if you're not careful, you'll forget the significance every day of what He does for us. And that's what Holy Communion is. It's that coming together and remembering together what He's done for us. It's amazing when you begin to remember the things of Calvary, how it makes all ground level right here in this room right now. If you came the first hour or the 11th hour, it matters not. You came to Calvary. Amen. We look at this and it's amazing because we may be guilty even here, right here in this service, if we were to be honest. And we could be honest and if we want to climb off the horse, if you don't mind me saying it that way. If we're not careful, we might think right or think better of ourselves. And then guess what? We might think this about ourselves or that about ourselves. But when we take communion, we should feel the same mentality about everything. We are sinners or were sinners and are now saved by grace. It's all because of Him. Let's remember that together. Rich, poor, doesn't matter who you are, we should remember. Your mind may have already been in the service. You may have already wandered off elsewhere in your mind. Think about that. You would tell you why? Because we forget that quick. Some of us already might be at home and can't wait to get there. I hope not. I'm not saying, not beating you up or nothing. Some of you might be thinking about a cheeseburger. I hope not. But I'm just showing you the tendency of humanity to wander. So what this is a time of remembrance. It's bringing our minds into this. And how should we remember Jesus? Why do we have this memorial? Why should we remember Him? And if our mind has wandered off tonight, bring it back in. How should we remember Him? And I'll tell you this, you can remember Him any way that you have need of right now. You may want to remember Him tonight in His baptism. You may want to remember Him in His temptation. You may want to remember Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. You may want to remember Him on the cross. You may want to remember Him standing outside the tomb or appearing before the disciples. You may want to remember Him like you read, stand at the right hand of the Father. But the whole thing is this, remember Him and what He's done for us. We need to remember Him. If you would go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to move into communion here in a moment. I'll tell you when we'll all get moving in a second. But I want to show you the breakdown of how Paul did this for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, yes sir. In verse 17, and we're going to look at these verses together once again. I know it's a little bit of reading for tonight, but it's important that we do this. This is God's Word. I hope you're not bored with it. Let's just get our minds on it and wrap it around it, and let's just take all this in. Number one, the first point, I have this written down in my Bible, because I believe this is important. Some instructions here we're taught to do or told to do by Paul here. Number one, we need to look around. The very first verses we're going to read here in verses 17 through 22 is referring to the love feast that they would take place among the Jewish people. And when I say look around, we're also going to include 33 and 34 with this, but we'll read this and we will elaborate on here in a moment, elaborate more. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worst. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, And they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Notice 33 and 34. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. We know here that I titled this Looking Around. He said, I've heard that there are divisions among you. And you would understand in the context of this writing, they would have these feasts and they were treating the Lord's table in which they would frequently come to, and they would eat. Some of them were coming there just to eat and partake. Even some of them were getting drunk is what the Bible says. Now we know the Corinthians had chaos and problems, so we're not going to get into all that. But he's got on them and said, look, there's some coming, you're feasting, and other ones are coming here hungry. It says, look, if you want to eat a good meal, you can do that at home. This is not a place just of feasting and reveling. It's not what we've come here to do. He said, we're all on even ground. We come here when we partake of the things of God. All of us are the same, is what Paul is saying. So I ask you tonight, number one, look around. And no doubt we look in this room, we don't have the same American. In America, we don't have the problem of one being hungry over here and one starving. I know any of you would help somebody else eat. I don't doubt that. And as I look around and you look at me, none of us starving. But yet division still can creep in among us. Amen. The disease and division is a real thing. We know the enemy would even to the place when the Bible says give no place to the enemy. I believe it's referring a lot to unforgiveness and referring a lot to divisions. We must be careful. That's why I tell you in Holy Communion, look around. Look at your neighbor. If you can look at anybody in the house of God with anything begrudging in you, you've got to get that right with God. Amen. Doesn't matter how wrong somebody has ever done you. Matter of fact, let me extend that even further. If you can look anywhere in your heart and you're begrudging to anybody, you got to get that right with God. Look around. Search your heart. Repent over those things. The Holy Ghost would like to deal with those things. Unforgiveness, bitterness, or anything. Even if you have been done wrong, please, I would never diminish if anybody's ever been done wrong. But even in being done wrong, we still must forgive them. Amen. That is what biblical forgiveness is. We must look around. I've had to do this before. It's been a few times in my life as I begin to search my heart. And there's been times people have, I'm talking about in general, just in ministry over years, you know something was said about you. You know this right here. And so you get down to pray and you almost want to vindicate yourself or justify yourself. But the whole time you're doing that, you realize, I cannot do that. I must forgive. Even if they don't ask for the forgiveness, you must forgive. My God, hear that. Even if they never come to you and say, I'm sorry, by the scripture, by the biblical concept of forgiveness, by Christian maturity, no matter what it is, ye must forgive those people. Leave your gift at the altar and go talk to them or forgive them. So number one, we look around during communion. Number two, we're going to read verses 23 down to 25 there. Not only are we to look around, but we are to look back. I want you to get this. We look around before communion, but then we look back. Notice verses 23. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So not only do we look around to make sure everything is clear in our heart between everybody, anybody, no matter who it is. But then we begin to look back during communion, and we look back at the cross, we look back at the finished work at Calvary, we look back at the provisions, and there we begin to feast on that together. As we look back, as Paul here is saying And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." We've already went over this, but we know what that is talking about. It is talking about Calvary. But then, brothers and sisters, we are not to stop there. Not only do we look around, not only do we look back during communion, but notice this, we also look to the future, because he says this. He says, "The cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Amen. I'm planning on having communion until the rapture. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if we're having communion and the rapture takes place? I'm going to keep on doing it. You know why? Because we are told, look around, look back, but look to the future. Do this to be reminded and remember until he return and gets his bride. I ain't planning on having communion during the tribulation. I plan on having communion now and until he comes. But brothers and sisters, as we move into this last section before we partake in communion, this is probably the most, I would say the most reverent and the most critical part, one of the most critical parts of communion. Not only do we look around, not only do we look back, not only do we look to the future, but we also look inside of ourselves. And this is where reverence takes even a greater foothold in our spirit as we partake of communion. Notice verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." You hear that? That's inspired by the Holy Ghost. Unworthily means irreverently, lightheartedly. If you partake of communion and you know within yourselves that you are irreverent to the things of God, you know that something's not right. I'm talking about you know, and you partake. You are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let me put it this way. You're right there with Judas and Pilate. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not trying, by no means would I ever try to compare anybody in here to a Judas, the son of perdition. But I will tell you this. Anybody that's irreverent to the holy things of God when it comes to communion, this is not a game. It's not some lighthearted tradition. If you partake of this unworthily, you are in the same category as Pilate and them. They were guilty in the Jewish nation there, who was guilty at that time of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Search yourselves today. Notice this. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." He says, examine yourself. Anytime I've ever taken an exam, I get asked questions. So ask yourself these questions. Are you doing everything you need to be doing right now in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? And be honest. Are you really serving the Lord? Are you really born again? And of course, I'm not putting a burden on you tonight to try to diminish your experience. I'm telling you this. Examine yourself that these things can be made right before we partake of this. Communion is not just eating the cracker and drinking the grape juice. It's a time of getting things right with God too, if there's anything wrong. It's an intimate time in the Lord. There's excuses that you have. Were they really excuses? The sin, say, that somebody partook in. And it's attempted. I couldn't help it. Could you really help it or not? Be honest. Be honest. The thoughts, the attitudes, the mentality, anything the Holy Ghost wants to deal with, they must be dealt with. Notice this. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily," they're doing it to damnation to themselves, "not discerning the Lord's body," which means they're taking the Lord's body and they're treating it lightly. They're not discerning who he is. And let's move forward here. It says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." You know what that's talking about? It's saying when you take this holy memorial, this holy supper, this holy communion, and you treat it unworthily, and you're doing rebellious in your heart, not wanting to get those things right with God, refusing to get those things right with God, and you still partake, guess what? God will chasten you. We still believe in the chastening of the God of heaven, the chastening of the Holy Ghost. God does not lack any means to get your attention nor mine. Amen. I want to remind you, as I often remind myself, it's a lot easier if I humble myself before God than have God humble me. Amen. I'd much rather humble myself than have God divinely, sovereignly come in and have to break my will. And in that, I don't know the results. I've met men in wheelchairs before that felt like God had chastened them there. I never said that. They did. Because in their blatant rebellion, they said they ran from God knowing what God was telling them. They were not ignorant of what they were doing, but they did not discern the Lord's body. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Isn't that just a comforting verse of Scripture? Man, you can judge yourself. I often tell my wife and others, I said, you know, I think I'm harder on myself than anybody else. I beat myself up all the time. But I want to have it right. My God, I want to have it right. I want to have my spirit right. I don't want anything in me. I say that before a church, as a pastor, before a holy God. I want it to be right. Holy Ghost, help us just to do it right. To be honest with Him and ourselves. There are no secrets in the secret place. Desecrating. Brothers and sisters, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Ye are a temple of the Holy Ghost. I had this thought before, and I'm just going to share it because I feel the Holy Ghost I just want you to get how sacred being honest and examining yourself and getting those things right, how honest we must be with ourselves. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. The temple of the Old Testament was a reverent place. Even so, Brother Shane just mentioned it the other night, but it's fact and study, that holies of holies. Even if that high priest were to go in there unprepared, he would drop dead in the presence of God. They had tried to make provision for that by putting bells around the bottom of his garment and tying a rope to his ankle, that if he dropped dead and he would not hear the bells moving or the bells ringing for ministry, they could drag his dead corpse out of there. But imagine, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The holies of holies. The Holy Ghost now resides in you, much like the holies of holies in the Old Testament. And how rebellious would we be to blatantly and rebelliously defend anything that's trying to live within us that is not holy and that is not God? It's equivalent to a high priest putting his chest out, pulling back the veil, walking into the holies of holies, and demanding himself in front of God that he's going to do what he wants to do. There would never have been a high priest so bold or so stupid, let me say. When I say unto you, let's not diminish that in our own lives. Ye are a temple of the Holy Ghost. It is just as sacred. Notice this, and we're about to partake. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man of hunger, let him eat at home. We've already read those verses, but basically, we are to be judged. It says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. So another thing, number two, judge yourself, yes. But also welcome the judgment of God. Ask Him to search you. Even if, and I've often said this, and God help us, and I mean this, and when I say these things from a pulpit, I say, God help me, because I'm always afraid. You ever heard of self-deception? I ask God to search me because I don't want to deceive myself. Amen? God, if you have to chasten us out of self-deception, whatever, chasten anybody out of self-deception, God, do that. Amen? So tonight, before we come up here, let's go ahead and gather first. The way we do this, if you're a visitor or hadn't done this in a while, every other pew, we're going to start at the first pew tonight. Leave a pew empty and then go to the next. That way the ushers can get through the pews. But can we gather for communion today? Those that can.